Revelation chapter 16. We'll be studying it tonight. This 16th chapter brings us to the final judgments of God prior to the establishing of the kingdom of God upon the earth. The seven bowls of God's wrath that will be poured out, culminating in the seventh bowl, which will be the great battle of Armageddon, something that you've heard so much about, the battle of Armageddon. And we find it here in the 16th chapter. And tonight, as we go through the 16th chapter, we'll be discussing the battle of Armageddon along with the other six bowls of God's wrath, in which will be finished the judgments of God. They will then be complete, and it will establish the world for the return of Jesus Christ. So as we're looking at the 16th chapter, after the sixth bowl has been poured out, between the sixth and the seventh bowl, there is an interesting declaration by Jesus in which he declares, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches, and he keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Here between these judgments, Jesus interjects this interesting statement of blessed as the one who is watching and is keeping his garments, because he's coming as a thief. The Lord announces that his coming will be as a thief. That is, it will be all of a sudden, people will be taken by surprise. Both Paul and Peter, speaking of the coming of the day of the Lord, speak of the coming as a thief. Both Peter said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." That was Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Peter said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Jesus said, if the good man of the house had known in which hour the thief was coming, his house would not have been broken up. The purpose of this analogy, coming as a thief, is to emphasize the importance that we be watching for the return of Jesus Christ. But it is interesting, as Paul speaks of the coming of Christ as a thief, Paul said, "You, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. But you are the children of light. You're the children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness, and therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So Jesus again is warning that his coming will be as a thief. That is, to those who are not scripturally proficient, those who are not up on the prophecies. It will come all of a sudden. It'll be here. But Jesus said, "Blessed is he that watches." Now, the whole background to the parables and to this coming suddenly and being watchful, the whole background is found in the Eastern culture and in their weddings. And so we find there's a lot of analogies that refer to the 10 virgins and the bridegroom coming and so forth. And in our Western minds, we don't grasp the full significance of these things because they are set in an Eastern culture and in the Eastern weddings. There was a traveler in Israel who wrote a book on the Holy Land, Dr. Alexander Finley, and he tells that while he was in Palestine, he said, when we were approaching the gates of a Galilean town, I caught a sight of 10 maidens who were gaily clad and playing some kind of musical instrument as they danced along the road in front of our car. And when I asked what they were doing, the guide told me that they were going to keep the bride company until her bridegroom arrived. I asked him if there was a chance of our seeing the wedding, but he shook his head and said, in effect, it might happen tonight, it might happen tomorrow night, or in a fortnight's time. Nobody ever knows for certain. And the guide went on to explain that one of the great things to do, if you could, is at the middle-class wedding in Palestine, catch the bridal party napping so that the bridegroom comes unexpectedly, and sometimes in the middle of the night. Now, it is true that he is required by public opinion to send a man along the street to shout, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." But that may happen at any time. So the bridal party has to be ready to go out into the street at any time to meet him whenever he chooses to come. Other important points are that no one is allowed on the streets after dark without a lighted lamp. And also that when the bridegroom has once arrived, the door has been shut and latecomers to the ceremony are not admitted. And with that as a background to the Eastern culture of weddings, you begin to understand a little better some of the parables that Jesus gave in regards to his return. In Matthew 24, verse 42, beginning there, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, because you don't know the hour that your Lord is coming. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have been watching and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant who his Lord, when he comes, will find him so doing. Verily I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him and an hour in which he is not aware, and will cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there's not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Watch ye therefore, he said in Mark, for you know not when the master of the house is coming, at evening, midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So Jesus is picking up the customs of the Oriental wedding, the Eastern wedding there, where the bride is waiting with the ladies in waiting with her, not knowing just when the bridegroom will come, knowing that he is going to come, but not knowing exactly when, and thus the necessity of being ready to go out to meet him. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, Jesus said, Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that you will be caught unprepared. For as a snare, it shall come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape these things of judgment that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. There are things in these passages that would seem to indicate that there are conditions that would cause you to miss the rapture of the church when it takes place. First of all, the attitude of the Lord is delaying his coming, and thus to start living in a life that is not prepared, just starting to eat and drink and to abuse those around you, saying, well, the Lord's delaying his coming. I have plenty of time to get ready. I'm just going to live it up for a while. But it is important to notice that that servant was cut off and given his portion with the unbelievers, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There were those virgins that had an insufficient supply of oil. Their lamps had gone out. The question this morning is, has your lamp gone out? Has the fire gone out of the relationship that you had with the Lord? Have you taken up things that you gave up when you first came to Christ? You see, if you've gone back to some of those things that when you first came to Christ, you gave them up, then you are in a backslidden state. If your love and fervency for the Lord isn't greater this morning than it has ever been, you're in a backslidden state. Your lamp is going out. I have seen Christians who were once very fervent in their walk with the Lord, and yet that fervency is gone. The light has gone out of their fervency for Jesus. And what was the consequence for the foolish virgins? They were not allowed entrance into the bridal party and to the wedding. Then we find that there were those who became ensnared in the things of this world. The surfeiting, the drunkenness, the cares of this world became predominant things within their lives. So that when the Lord came, they were not accounted worthy to enter in, but had to instead go through the great tribulation. Jesus warned there in Luke 21 concerning the necessity of praying always that we would be accounted worthy to escape the great tribulation, that we might be there in the wedding feast of the Lamb in the heavenly scene. Have the interest in the things of the world crowded out your interest for the Lord? Has he now had to take a second ranking in your life below the world? Jesus said here in our text, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who is watching and keepeth his garments." Now, just what did he mean by keepeth his garments? We have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by our faith in him. Paul, writing to the Philippians, spoke of his desire to be found not in his own righteousness, which was of the law, but the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. Way back in the beginning, when sin first entered the world, Adam and Eve, you remember that suddenly they discovered their nakedness. Their sin became very obvious. And so they sewed fig leaves to try to cover their nakedness. And when God came into the garden to commune with Adam, they hid themselves from the presence of God, or sought to. God said, "Adam, where are you?" And he said, "Well, we found and realized that we were naked, so we hid ourselves." And we read that God gave them coats of skin to cover their nakedness. Our sin is either covered by God's grace and God's provision, or we seek to cover it by our own efforts, our own doings, our own works. And there you have a fascinating picture in the beginning where they sought to cover by their own works. But God gave to them coats of skins, meaning that animals were sacrificed to cover the sin. And even to the present time, there are people who, by their good works, are trying to cover their nakedness. And there are others who are trusting in God's covering for their sins. In Isaiah 61, the prophet said, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, and as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride is adorned herself with her jewels." So he rejoices in the fact that God has covered him with the garments of salvation. In Revelation 19:7, the declaration is, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It is only the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed to you by your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that will give to you an entrance into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to testify of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Of sin, he said, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I ascend to the Father. It's an interesting correlation. What has the witness of the Holy Spirit of righteousness have to do with the ascension of Jesus into heaven? Of righteousness, because I ascend to the Father. What's the relationship? When Jesus ascended into heaven, it was God's witness to the earth that this is the righteousness that God will receive into heaven. If you want to get to heaven on your own, you'll have to be as righteous as Jesus Christ, which none of us have been or can be. But the beautiful thing is that God will clothe us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. And so Jesus here declares that they have kept their garments. That is, we have kept clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. You remember Jesus in a parable of a wedding said that the king had prepared a great feast for the wedding of his son, and when the guests that were invited began to make excuse of why they couldn't come, he finally told his servants, go out to the highways and byways and compel people to come in because I want the banquet hall to be full. Of course, the picture is the invitation was to the Jews. They rejected the Messiah. And so the door was open to the Gentiles, the highways and byways. And the house was full. And when the king came in to see the guest, Jesus said, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He wasn't robed in the righteousness of Christ. And he saith unto him, friend, how is it that you came not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Today there are many who, like Adam and Eve, are trying to atone for their own sins by their works. But the prophet Jeremiah tells us that our works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And there can never Your works can never put away your guilt. And at the judgment seat, you'll be stripped. Your sins will be revealed for all to see. And this is what Jesus means by lest they be naked and ashamed. In Hebrews 4:13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. John wrote, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we might have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, if you have received Jesus Christ, your sins have been erased. That's the word justification. It's just as though you had never committed that sin. The Bible tells us that God has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Bible tells us that God will not remember our sins. That is, those who are putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your sins have been removed. They don't even exist as far as God is concerned. God accounts you righteous through him, and thus I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But if you're not clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, if you're trying to cover your guilt by your own efforts, by your own works, in that day when the secrets of men's hearts are revealed, when that which was said in secret is shouted from the housetops, you will be ashamed as you stand there and all of the sins are revealed and exposed that you have committed for all to see, for all to know. And that's what it refers to, ashamed at his coming, or blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walks naked, and they shall see his shame. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abides in me, and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. But if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus is warning again of the importance of our being ready, abiding in him, not straying, keeping him first and foremost, keeping the lamp burning, doing the work and the will of the Lord. Blessed is that servant when the Lord comes, finds him so doing. And he is emphasizing these things, all to say that we must be ready and we must be watching, because he's coming at any time and we don't know when. Whether it be in the morning, evening, or whatever, we don't know when the Lord is coming for us. And therefore, be watchful, be ready, and don't let these snares trap you so that the coming of the Lord will catch you unprepared. That's the message of Jesus to the church. God help us to pay attention. Father, we pray that today, if we have been guilty of straying, if because of the delay of your return, we've turned ourselves back to the beggarly elements of the world and trying to find fulfillment in the things of the world, Lord, we pray that this will be a wake-up call for your people. And Lord, that we would put on the garments of righteousness provided by Jesus Christ, and that we, Lord, would trim our lamps, and that we would be ready when you come for your church. May you find us, Lord, doing your will. May you find us not sleeping, but waiting. And Lord, truly, in these days in which we live, as we see the events that are taking place in this world, our hearts have become very anxious, Lord, for your return. And so, Lord, we wait eagerly for you to come. May we, Lord, be ready when the call goes to enter in. May we be accounted worthy to escape the things that are going to be coming to pass upon the earth, that we might be with that company, Lord, that is standing around the throne, singing the glorious anthems of the worthiness of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Jesus said, "Watch and be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming." If the Lord should come, say this very moment, would you be ready? Are you sure? Or would you possibly be caught unprepared and have to face the great tribulation period? If you're not sure that you're ready, I wouldn't want to leave this place without knowing, without being confident, that should the Lord return this day, I'm ready to meet him. The pastors are down here in the front to pray for you who are not certain that you're ready to meet the Lord. And I would encourage you, as soon as we're dismissed, make your way down to the front and let them pray for you. Because Jesus has given us ample warning. There's no excuse. When he comes, he's not going to accept any excuses. You are either ready or not. And so I would encourage you, make certain of this. It's not something you want to take chances on, because the consequences are too severe. May the Lord be with you, and may we as Christians walk in readiness to meet our Lord when he returns. Let us take care lest the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things supersede our love for the Lord. May he be first. Our bridegroom, he's coming. And I believe that the call is going out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," and it's just going to happen at any time. May we be ready.